station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
You waited in line for hours among hundreds of other contestants just for a shot to appear on national television wearing a cape around your shoulders and with a song in your heart.
Kelly Clarkson never wore a cape.
Then, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, you get your big chance in front of the judges and proceed to croon out a bizarre love ballad for Paula that you wrote yourself.
Quick, someone call security.
Come on, did you really think you'd woo her?
Even Paula's not that drunk yet.
So the next time you're watching Idol and see a chubby guy with an extra chromosome, a skinny kid with crazy eyes, or any man wearing a costume, don't touch the remote. But get ready for Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, a real American hero.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Well, at least your grandma thinks you're talented.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. It's Thursday, January 6th. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Got another great one for you.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we actually don't know if it's going to be good till the end.
I'm having talks with Sam before the show. He's like, we need to talk about this on the radio, but it's extremely, extremely personal. As though it couldn't get any more personal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I don't know about you. You don't really divulge as much as I do. But when
I don't. But the thing is, if you ask me questions, I'll answer.
I know. You are very straightforward. But I'm saying, being on this side of things, doing doing radio, and you just think it's us.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that goes through my mind is like, is this too much or is this not enough? And are people going to understand, like, you know, there's so many different sides to a person, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, all that stuff, right? And you kind of go, well, are people going to be able to understand if you go into this realm of things? Is it going to contradict this realm of things? Because we're all human, you know? But when you put a lot out there, you have a lot more to lose.
That's true, you know, but the secret is don't think about people listening. Just do it.
No, I know, but I just think about it more like, especially because of what I believe spiritually and stuff. And
right.
Some people aren't going to get it if you just let it all hang out, but yet you believe a certain way. I think some people think that's, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. In my book, you can be into religion and still talk about sex and things like that. You know, it's part of life, for crying out loud.
No, I know that. I'm just talking about more because there's thousands of people listening.
Well, you don't have to divulge.
I'm more just talking about the subject of, you know, when you're on this side of things, you know, I tend to be a let it all hang out kind of person anyway.
That's true,
but then
yeah.
on the radio, I get a little more. And then I'm like, wait a minute, there's numerous people. And we always make a joke like, oh, all five of you are tuned in today. But there actually are a lot of people listening.
There's tens of thousands for sure.
Yeah, there's lots of people listening. And you kind of go, really? Okay.
Yeah, well, they're out there, Kara. They hear every word you say.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah. Should we start the show with a little music? I'm kind of... We both come in here, you know, singing in the morning. So we need
I was singing Cyndi Lauper, and he was singing this.
This is kind of... This song has been playing in my mind since last night, nonstop, even while I was
really,
sleeping.
It's a really, really great produced song. All together, ready?
Rah, rah, ah, 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 rama, rama, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la, wonderful romance, ah, rah, ah, 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 rama, rama, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la.
I love that beat.
did something with the drums.
I want you ugly, I want your disease. I want your everything as long as it's
ready.
I want your love.
La, 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 come on.
What, come on? People want to hear the fucking song.
No, they know the song.
I'm the touch of your hair.
They still play it a lot.
You know that I want you, and you know that I need you. I want to bad, bad, bad. I want your love, I want your revenge. You and me, good and a bad romance. Oh, oh, oh.
It's a cool video.
Yeah.
It's the first time I see it. Wow.
Okay.
Did you watch the People's Choice Awards last night?
No, didn't even catch that.
I know, I only saw
a few minutes
of it.
Does anybody watch it?
I think it's pretty cool, you know, because it's like
cool.
More...
I'm not saying people watch it.
Yeah, people watch it. You know, it's not like the Academy Awards or the Grammys, I'm sure, but at the same time, you know, they give awards to people that normally would not get an Academy Award.
Can you enlighten us a bit and maybe share some of...
Yeah, like the people from Twilight, for example. These are still like, you know, the three people from Twilight.
They get tons of shit.
I know, and they still are getting it, you know, because of...
But you just said people don't get... These are for people that don't get anything. They get something at People's Choice.
Yeah, but they don't get it in like... The Academy Awards.
No, because it's not Academy Awards.
Golden Globe. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this is where the people select the winners.
Oh, power to the people.
Power to the people. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot. Well, let's say there was some going on. I saw, like, Zac Efron winning something. I saw, the Twilight people, and that's it, you know. And then I just couldn't keep watching it anymore.
And there you go. So. Man.
But I'm sure it was good, you know. I mean, a lot of entertainment and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's great. Give credit where credit's due. The Twilight series did amazing, you know, and people loved it. So there you go, people.
Yeah.
You know, people for the people. That makes sense.
Yeah. Did you ever watch it?
I watched
it,
yeah.
See the movies?
I watched them. I think they're really fun. I mean, I'm not a fanatic, and I'm not somebody that read the books.
Right.
I think that's a different kind of... Like, it's gotten its own following, just like,
right.
You know, the Harry Potter thing or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people get really into it. And I think it's kind of fun that people that have a real zeal and enthusiasm for something and mm-hmm. that you don't, and you kind of are like, why? But then you just kind of watch them and you're like, oh yeah, but the books are this. Oh my gosh, you gotta wait for this one to come out because this, that time. Oh my god. And you just, I just look at them because they're excited.
Yeah.
But I don't quite, I'm just not into
you
like,
don't get it.
You know, like teen romance wrapped up in vampires just doesn't do
yeah,
it for
I
me.
Know. I
just
know.
Just doesn't do I'm way more older and sophisticated.
Yeah.
But no, it just, it doesn't seem to do it. But I mean, we're talking people in their 30s and 40s and 50s that are into it, you know, and then...
Oh, really? I thought it was only, like, teens and...
No, know, there's a lot of women that really resonated with the story and mm-hmm. a lot of women. I mean, I know I'm going to probably piss a lot of women off saying this, and I mean, I kind of get it. I think some of the romance was really sweet and exciting, but definitely not the best I've seen as far as romance.
Mm.
But apparently a lot of these women, I think it was on Oprah, they called it, like... the eternal beast, like the beast that's looking for his eternal love, kind of mm-hmm. like the depth of... No, actually, one of our guests, Lisa, who is in here, who is the roommate of your ex-host, Susie, mm-hmm. she talked about the desire that women have and resonate with the storyline is like this beast that's wanting his eternal love, that he's waited ages for her.
Mm.
And that kind of resonates and attracts older women or women that are not in that bracket of, you know, teen bracket.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, it's got some kind of a timeless romance and women are attracted to that.
Yeah, and I can see that. But I mean, I also think of it like, you know, it's just not that exciting. And the lead girl, Kristen Stewart, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she actually does a great job.
Yeah.
But I just find her just, she's just so drab. And I know that's part of her thing, but that's, she does the drab thing on the red carpet. She does the drab thing in her other movies. She does the, like, I'm over it, jaded drab thing.
Right.
And it irritates me.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
sure
Kristen
beat
out Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston for favorite actress.
Yeah, that's because this is like the Teen Choice Awards or whatever.
It's not a Teen Choice.
Basically.
It's People's Choice.
Whatever. Because anybody that's got half of an acting brain knows that she can't. She doesn't have those same chops.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she did bad. I'm saying she doesn't. You can't even compare her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like a bubblegum award. But that's great. Good for her.
Yeah. And the most music awards went to Eminem.
Okay.
I guess he's back in the headlines now.
Oh, he's been back. He's his new album's done great.
He's got a new album.
He's pretty badass. My my friend Tracy, you guys check her out, Tracy McDonald. She's a comedian. Mm-hmm. She is obsessed with rap.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because she's a short little white girl.
Uh-huh.
Obsessed with rap. And she found some raw footage of Eminem before he was big with another rapper. And they were just freestyling in the car. And it's kind of funny because it's just like they're just chilling. Mm-hmm. And so she wants to do like a spoof of it, our own thing, where she's in the car and I'm in the car and we're just trying to have a rap off. So you guys stay tuned and we might post it.
Do you really want to do that?
Yeah, I think it'd be funny. I mean, I want to do it a little bit more cheesier. I mean, I'm more like character-y, so I want to dress up as like a Care Bear and do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like a cartoon that's rapping. I think that'd be funnier.
Okay, dress up as Yogi or something.
Not Yogi, Care Bear.
Oh, Care Bear.
You know the one with the cupcake on its stomach?
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, I got a cupcake on my tummy and another on my mind.
You're weird.
Yeah, I know it's weird, but that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, Monday I'll get a People's Choice Award for that. You just watch out.
Yeah, there you go.
All those 5-year-olds are going to be punching the phone lines, voting for me. Cupcake, Care Bear.
Yeah, 5-year-old.
There we go. Gotta know your audience. Gotta know your audience, people.
Wow. Mm. So you know about the dead birds we've been talking about? Now they found some in Sweden as well.
What?
Killed by external blows. How do you explain this shit?
Who's got the beef with the birds?
I don't know, but it can't be a person because, I mean, you're talking about thousands of birds, you know?
Well, I mean, technology's crazy nowadays. What if they're doing some kind of weird nuclear testing somewhere?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Poor birds, but we keep bringing it up. Let's let them rest in peace.
Yeah.
Let those birds rest in peace. Give them a good rip. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Rip it up.
I guess someone, what's his name? Kirk Cameron, who's that guy from Family from Growing Pains?
Yeah.
He says it doesn't mean the end of times.
Oh, he had to come out with that statement.
Yeah, I guess to assure us everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Maybe because he was in those movies Left Behind.
Oh, of course.
Behind, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Okay. I just think it's kind of funny a bit.
Yeah. That
Don't
he's
you think
reassuring
it's funny?
Us, right?
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Kirk. I mean, maybe he does have a responsibility.
Well, good thing to know it's not the end of times, you know?
We still Who knows? It few, could be. We don't know.
We still have a few good years in us.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
So I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about the guy with the golden voice, the homeless dude that was discovered. And I don't really know the full story, but the interview I heard was quite just so cool. I mean, he just was this dude that fell on hard times and was an ex-radio dude and couldn't find work.
Oh, so he used to be on radio. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about this homeless guy, Ted Williams, right?
Yes.
And he was discovered by someone who videotaped him.
Mm.
And, and apparently he became famous somehow.
Yeah, on YouTube. Like, he had, like, millions of hits, and now he's got all these huge offers. You know, Macaroni and Cheese wants to give him an endorsement deal.
Really?
He's
getting
a house.
Wow, how lucky, huh?
There's all these different offers for him to do radio at different radio stations, but his interview was just, they said, how has the last 48 hours been for you? Because this has all happened within the last 2 days.
Right.
He says, it feels like Dorothy, and I'm just not in Kansas anymore. It's like going to a different world. He said, I used to just hope to get enough money to eat and maybe a hotel room, you know, a night or two.
Yeah.
And now, you know, his life has totally changed. And he said, man, when God blesses, he blesses big.
Yeah,
and that's just
go.
The sweetest thing. I mean, he just really talks a lot about, he's just so grateful. I mean, people love stories like this because it's, you know, it's like even the Bible says, it's those who humble themselves that'll be exalted. There's something about the people that are so humble that you really, everybody wants to see win, really.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see them up high.
Yeah, yeah, especially, you know, when it's like the underdog. You know, and people that are down
and out. Yeah, this guy is so grateful. I mean, how awesome is this?
I'm sure. Let's hear something about him from CNN.
Okay.
Because I didn't hear his voice. I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, he does have a great voice.
He may be homeless, but he's not voiceless.
There's been this guy with an interesting sign at I-71.
A panhandler sign saying, I have a God-given gift of a great voice. Wait till you hear it.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words.
And folks wanted to hear more. The homeless man with a golden voice blew up on websites like Reddit. I just had an eargasm. He should be an NBA announcer. He should do audiobooks. Get this man's voice on everything. The man is Ted Williams.
The voice just became something of a development over years, and I went to school for it. And then alcohol and drugs and a few other things became a part of my life. And I got 2 years clean.
A videographer for the Columbus Dispatch website is the one who shot and posted the video.
The first thing that went through your mind when you heard his voice?
He's good. He's just really good.
Next thing you know, job offers are being posted, including one from the Bo Radio Show in Meadville, Pennsylvania.
Absolutely, yes. He'd have his own show live on the air. He already has radio experience, obviously, so he would just need a little tweaking.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
How much is the station willing to pay? Well, they say at least minimum wage. But there may be a bidding contest through a Columbus radio station. The Ohio Credit Union League is offering up to $10,000 in voiceover work, saying we are all amazed by Mr. Williams' gift. He may not end up being the next James Earl Jones.
This is CNN.
But Ted Williams has dreams.
So, you know, I'm hoping one day, watch Family Guy, weeknights at 7:30 on.
Watch
Yeah.
I mean, what
he's got a pretty good voice.
He does.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, he's got very announcer, very clear. Very, I mean, you know, that what's so cool about his story is he, no matter to the depths of which he went, which we didn't go there with him, but it sounds like he still had this knowing of the gift he had.
Right.
No matter how shitty it got, no matter how much of a screw-up you can be, he knew that he has something special.
Well, yeah, I guess, but nobody discovered it other than that guy that stopped by him. And asked him, you know, and videotaped him and asked him to say something.
But isn't that so interesting? I mean, just how one person took the time to listen to him and actually uploaded it. And now everybody's like, wow. And I think people are wowed by the fact that, you know, this is a guy that's been living on the streets and has nothing.
Right.
And yet he's got
this
amazing talent and it's just been kind of hanging out here.
Yeah. And I think it also shows that, you know, these homeless people are actually normal people. You know, people that used to have a job, they used to have a family, and then something happened. But it shows you, obviously, because he's used to being radio and everything. And then, you know, it could be the guy next door. And then he ends up on the streets.
Yeah, I know. It kind of can help you have understanding and compassion for people. And just like the movie The Soloist, did you ever see that?
No,
I didn't either.
No.
But the preview showed that he was, you know, went to Juilliard, I believe, and was a concert, you know, cellist or violinist. I'm not sure, either one. But anyway, he, you know, he had some mental issues and ended up on the streets, but he had this amazing, extraordinary talent.
Uh-huh.
And someone actually helped him kind of, you know, reconnect with that and help them. So it's interesting to think about how many wonderful genius people are somehow lost in their own addictions or their
own. And I think it's usually mental illness.
I think a lot of it is, yeah. But then there's also, you know, the drug use and stuff. Like he said, he's 2 years sober, which great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. How can you be sober and be homeless? You know, I would think that you'd, want to be high all the time. So that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're homeless, at what point do you say, you know, the drinking is really ruining my life?
I don't know. It's different for everybody. I mean, you know, everybody's got addictions. Yeah. Some are just more destructive, you know, but they're all the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, isn't it interesting? I mean, you know, think about it. You're addicted to cigarettes, right?
Uh-huh.
But cigarettes slowly erode. They don't really kill you in the sense of
it slowly.
Yeah, you could still get up and go to work, right?
Right.
But it's still an addiction.
Right.
Yeah, it's still something that you have to have. You feel like you need to have.
Right.
And you'll get over it, and I believe you're going to get over it. But it's something that for years you've done.
Right.
And I'm not attacking you. I'm just making an
I understand that.
And it's like if the outside was on the inside, you know what I mean? If people could see the lungs and they could see, if we could even see it, we'd go, oh my gosh, how could you let this happen? You know what I mean? But it's just, it's more subtle,
yeah,
and it's over time.
Exactly. You can't really see it. You know, it's not like with food or something.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's still the same thing, right?
Right.
It's,
no, absolutely.
That's what's interesting.
But there are posters like that. They post in the schools.
Oh, really?
Of exactly what you're talking about. They show like a pretty woman all covered in tar and shit like that, you know?
But
so,
I think
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
true.
I think it's very eye-opening, though, like people that have food addictions or drug and alcohol abuse. It's kind of like, I think society, and this isn't, I'm not going to, you know, reinvent the wheel here or change people, but it's very eye-opening to see it. You know, nobody really has a place to judge because everybody's got something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just to what degree that the power it has, you know?
Right.
Like some people, their drug use is food, you know, and they become morbidly obese.
Right.
That, of course, not medically speaking, but for people that it's a food addiction. And it's like I've heard so many people try to, like, talk down to people that are heavy or try to just tell them what to do. Meanwhile, the person that's telling them what to do has five other addictions
right,
themselves.
Right, exactly.
But they're not necessarily ugly. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not necessarily offensive to them. To, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're still the same thing. It's still you're going to something to pacify, to fill you,
right,
and it's hurting you. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think it's the same thing. It's like then some people fall into drug and alcohol abuse, and it's like that shit is dark.
I know.
You know?
I know. Well, you know, that's why I get irritated with people that criticize other people, and then yet they have a drinking problem or, you know.
Look, everybody's got something, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody does. I mean, I think there's people that are, I mean, if you want to take it even further, I think there's people that are, like, addicted to control, you know.
Yeah.
It may not be a substance.
Or to getting angry.
Yeah, some people are addicted to punishing, and that's kind of where I feel like there's people that are like, I just have to have everything in its place, and everything's here, and if I could keep everything in control, then I will be okay, and everything will be okay, but don't, like, they can't be flexible, they can't compromise, they can't, you know, do anything spontaneous, and because of that, it does affect their life, because they can't engage people sometimes. Like, I have friends that are so... And they have to have everything checked off the box. So they're always running around that when you're with them, they're not present. They don't really engage in conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't understand that what they're trying to gain so much is destroying their relationships.
Yeah, well, it's hard to know when you're in it.
Oh, and I do. I say that. I really do say that more humbly in the sense of, you know, it's just another way of looking at we all have stuff, you know? We all have stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We all have stuff. We all have shit in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple people that won the Mega Millions lottery.
Oh, really?
And this was back east, though, I think. No? I don't know if it spans a few states or something. But I guess...
Where does all the money come from when somebody wins like $1 billion in the lottery?
Oh, they even have money left after they pay this out. Are you kidding? From all the revenues of the tickets.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's how much they... It's all from people buying a few bucks here and a $3 there. And
oh,
bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
They make a lot of fucking money. And if nobody wins, it rolls over and it gets bigger.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, HBO did a documentary on... I think it's... I can't remember. It's the lottery. It's about lottery winners.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember what the name of it is. But it followed winners and their lives.
Yeah, I've heard of that
And
one,
it's
yeah.
really interesting. It's very, very interesting. And some people do fine with it, and some people it just, oh my gosh, just is so
sad. Many people are broke a few years later.
Yeah, that's why they have annuities now, that you can opt in to have an annuity, and it pays you out every year monthly, so that you, they said that...
Well, most of them are like that, you know? I mean, if you want it in one chunk, you have to settle for a lot less.
Yeah, because of taxes, right?
No, because of the interest and stuff, you know. That's why they give it to you over 20 years, so they can earn interest on the money.
Oh.
So if you want to earn the interest, they'll give you less money, and then you can earn the interest yourself.
Mm.
But it's not the same, you know. But, man, they split $380 million between two winners.
That's it?
Yeah.
Two? 380, quick, what's the math on that? Two going to three, one time, drop it, that's 118. That's 160.
190, relax.
190. So what is that? But
that's
what
a lot of money.
So $190,000, let's say
million.
That. Million. Million, well, $190 million. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Because think about it, you just won that money.
Uh-huh.
There's so many businessmen that won't ever, that are people that have done investments.
Most people will never get to that amount, not even close.
Even high rollers.
Right.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I love it. Then the average Joe just won it. I love it. Yeah. So annuity, like, so what would that look like for like a yearly or monthly thing?
It's a yearly thing. They give it to you. But, you know, I mean, if you're going from 190, it'd probably be less than 100 million if they give it to you in one chunk.
No, but 190, let's say an annuity, what would that look like? Because that's a spread out thing, right? So that's probably...
No, but that's what I'm saying. You're not going to... Oh, I see. The 190 over 20 years, let's say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about...
like 4 point something a year, right? No. That's
190 really... divided by 20.
Oh, shit.
That's...
well, we're not
85, exact... okay.
85 million a year?
Yeah. No, 85... 8.5 million a year,
8.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of money, huh?
There's so much you can do with that.
Yeah.
$8.5 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you play it right, it, you know, you can keep it for generations. You know, your whole family is set. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Mm. Everybody's set for life if you know how to do it. But I think many people would just go out and spend the whole fucking thing, you know?
Well, that's what my friend was telling me. He's like, the annuities started to kick in because so many lottery winners would be busted broke.
Yeah.
They would just be like, spend it.
Yeah. But no, I'm telling you, that's the reason they do it that way, is, you know, you get it over 20 years. And then, yeah, and besides, we forgot all the taxes. It's probably 50, 60% tax. So, yeah.
40.
So then,
huh? I think it's 40%, right?
I think for lottery, it's probably 50% easily, if not more.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Doesn't leave much, but, you know, I'd take it any day, man.
No, it leaves a lot still. I mean, 50% of that is still.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good. I didn't feel that.
No.
Didn't feel it, because you're not even going to tap into that in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you could rebuild certain countries and stuff with that amount of money.
Or yeah, like, something, you know, like that. Yeah.
Or some part of it, you know.
Yeah.
I know certain places, it's like $7,000 to do a home. I think it's in some of the, I think the Philippines, I think.
Mm. So, but, you know, I mean, I think you can have too much money. In other words, what, you know, how much are you going to buy with that kind of money? I mean, you can only live in one house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you get yourself a summer home or something. You can only drive one or two cars at a time, or one car at a time, mm-hmm. okay? So let's say you get yourself five cars,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you can travel till you're blue in the face, mm-hmm. but then you're going to get tired of that. So you'll buy yourself a boat, and then you'll get tired of that, and you still haven't spent that much.
Well, I think it's all about your heart, really, because I think money can just amplify where your heart is, you know, whether that's good or bad, or, you know.
Right.
And I think if you just look at it for your own satisfaction, you're going to, like you said, you're going to run out, and it's going to start to all become commonplace,
right.
And it's going to start to become numb, I would
right.
assume.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you're like, oh, another day another day in a private jet with a massage.
Yeah, like, and, what am I going to buy today?
Yeah, you know? Like, I just, when you constantly think about fulfilling your own needs, you're going to be dissatisfied.
Right.
But I think if you look at it like how an empowering thing, like, how can I help other people, that's never going to get old, because the need is so great. There's
yeah,
always...
well, that's why many people do that, you know, because you have so much money left, you don't really know what to do mm-hmm. with it, and you might as well give it away and help people out.
Mm-hmm. In the Bible, it talks about Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about wealth, and it says, you know, it's a blessing for a man to be able to actually enjoy his wealth, because... it's actually a blessing regardless of how much money you have to even enjoy it. Because think about it, when the rich man or whatever has so much wealth, sometimes it comes with its own set of problems and maintaining it and protecting it, that a lot of times they are constantly stressed out and they're constantly busy and they're worried and they can't even enjoy mm-hmm. the fruit of their labor or what they have, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a worse thing, is to have all, like, think about it, just have everything and not be able to actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can enjoy it, but the thing is that, you know, human nature is always like, I want more, I want more, mm-hmm. I want more. And, you know, so after a while, you get used to the money and everything, and then you're looking for meaning again in your life, because we're human beings, and that's what we're made of.
Well, it's not made to fulfill you. I mean, I think only God can fill. I think that at the end of the day, it's like stuff and experience is great, but it's not gonna ultimately fulfill who you are, you know.
And that's God and a hooker, you know. A hooker would fulfill me just fine.
Okay, let's say the first 10 times. But that's what we're talking about here, is whatever it is, whether it's money or hookers or whatever, you get your experience.
Okay, so you're saying God did not plan for us to really find meaning in money and in sex and stuff.
No, I think that...
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's like the... And I think everything you said is right. It's that whole need for more. Because ultimately we want to be kings, and we want to be gods ourselves. We want to be completely in control and completely like these creators, and we're not. We're really not. So it's interesting, you know, if you have just such all this stuff at your fingertips, and then, you know, and some people that I've heard, like, was it Lenny Kravitz? My friend said that Lenny Kravitz said some of the best times in his life was when he was struggling, sharing an apartment, jamming with his friends, not knowing when he was going to eat.
Mm, okay, so you see, that should make you happy. Well, you're in that same situation.
Well, you know what? It's interesting, because even my aunt said, she said, Kara, enjoy where you are, because you're not going to always be there. And I was like, well, let me know when that happens. But you know what? She's right, because in some ways, there's so many things that, you know, I have been able to experience as far as my friendships and intimacy and just kind of sticking it out together, that whole thing, and helping each other and laughing at everything. Like, we, because, you know, my roommate moved out and she took the couch. She took a lot of shit.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, where's that hairbrush I like? Oh, yeah, it wasn't mine. Okay, the big screen TV that took up the whole wall is gone. Okay, that's cool. Oh, yeah, the couch. We don't have one. It wasn't ours. So... Sarah moved her bed into the living room temporarily.
Really? So you guys can sit on.
Yeah, and we were like watching this movie that was like Sex and the City 2. We were watching it, and it's all like fabulous and fabulous and fabulous clothes, and we're laughing and we're judging their clothes, and then like we're sitting on the bed, and the bed shifted a bit, and the mattress almost fell off, and we're laughing our ass off. We're like, we're on our bed couch right now watching fabulous Sex and the City 2 on the bed couch, you know? But we just had like the best of time, you know, eating Thai food and just laughing.
That's so true. Yeah, you can make the best of it.
It's just funny. I mean, it's not where I aspire to be, but the circumstances can breed like intimacy and laughter and fun, and you know, everybody should just try it. It's a blast.
Yeah, right. Try being poor for
a
few days.
No, I'm not poor.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, but it's like bed couch.
Yeah.
We're like, we're on our bed couch right now. We're on our bed couch. I don't know if I told you, I watched a documentary called The Wonderful Wild Whites of West Virginia. It was produced by Johnny Knoxville from Jackass. And it's this family. Their last name is the Whites. And they grew up, they live in the mountain region of West Virginia, so it's been kind of isolated a bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of drug use, a lot of crazy stuff going on. And it's the trailer is quite funny. So I was like, I got to see this, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you actually watch the documentary, and it's kind of sad, you know. I mean, it's funny and sad, because there's some hope in it too. But as I was watching it, some things really clicked for me about my mom's side of the family. Because, you know, my grandma went to the prison twice. My grandma's in prison right now.
Right.
Second time.
Yeah.
My mom's been on so many different types of drugs, right?
Right.
And, you know, I guess I've been naive to all that. I just didn't. It's like, you're like, I know it's crazy. I don't even know how crazy it is.
Yeah.
But one of the ladies.
But it seems normal because it's your family, right?
It doesn't seem normal. No? No, it doesn't seem normal. I just never investigated too much. I just, like, I know some stuff screwed up over there. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mom's been married 6 times, et cetera. You know, some dark shit went down. And,
right.
You know, but my mom is always, every time I've talked to her on the phone, she's always been like, tell me this, like, you know, hey, Carrie, like that, right? She's always out of it. Well, I watched The Wonderful Wild Whites of West Virginia, and one of the ladies is being interviewed, and her kid has just had like 4 Mountain Dews. And in the background of her interview at her house, the kid's like jumping around, acting like he's shooting a gun. He's doing flips on the bed, and she's just like not fazed.
Uh-huh.
And she's sitting there, and her name is Bo, I think, or Kirk. It's like a boy's name. And she's like, if you, for example, if you're going to start some shit with me, if you're going to try to start some shit with me, I'd fought you.
Really? And she's talking to her kid that way?
No, she's talking to the interviewer.
I see.
She defends
okay.
her. She'll defend herself. She goes, you want to start some shit with me?
Really?
I fought you. She goes, one time my boyfriend, he cheated on me with my cousin. So I come up in there and I stabbed him in the arm. And then I thought, oh shit, he's really big. He's going to fuck me up. So then I stabbed him in the stomach.
And then my mom come in there, and she hid the knife and wiped out the bloodstain on the carpet.
Wow.
Oh, is this being recorded?
I'm serious.
Really?
And it's like the funniest, saddest thing in the world.
I'm sure. I would love to watch that. It's like train wreck.
Oh, my gosh. But it's actually, it opens your heart, too, because you can't judge anybody. I mean, you didn't grow up there. You didn't have, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of these things where you kind of put yourself in their situation and you kind of go, wow. I mean, and they've got big hearts. Like, you start listening to their interview and how they feel about themselves and stuff. And it's, they're just people like everyone else. But watching this woman and the kid jumping around the background and all this crazy stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, my mom is kind of like the Wonderful Wild Whites. And like, I went home and cleaned my room.
Right.
I was like, I got to go clean my room.
Really?
Right now. I got to go organize my room because I don't want to be like the Wonderful Wild Whites. But they're good people. Wow. They're good people. It's just the lifestyle is what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see, I mean, you didn't turn out crazy because of your family, you know? So,
well, I did. I mean, let me give some. Well, no, it's not. It's not an excuse, but it's like I got to give credit because I moved out of my mom's when I was 10,
right.
And I lived with my dad, which was a million times more stable. Mm-hmm. You know, we had our own issues growing up with him, but
But still, knowing that your mom is like that, you know, and that your grandma is in fucking prison
twice. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I said, Mom, How's your grandma doing? I mean, how's your mom doing? She goes, well, Kara, she gets out of prison in a year.
Yeah.
I said, what? I thought she already got out. Where the hell have you been, Kara? She went back in prison for crack cocaine. I said, are you serious? I'm like, what 66-year-old woman? I said, how old is she? She goes, she's 66, Kara. I said, Mom, what 66-year-old woman goes to the slammer twice in their life?
For crack
cocaine. She goes, I don't know, Kara. Who in the hell does go to prison? Like, my mom's got her life together.
Right.
Crack.
Well, maybe, I mean, now we can understand maybe why your mom is like that. If your grandma was fucking nuts, you know, then your mom turned out that way. You know?
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
It's a tragic story. It's kind of tragic.
It is. I mean, we laugh at it, but it's very sad.
Yeah.
That people can't get their lives together at that age.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it just? I mean, I talk about it too. I don't mean this. Like, I know I make it kind of funny because it is hysterical and everything. But it's sad too. You know, my sister died. You know, and she took her life, and she was like in that world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a weird like. I told my mom and I actually talked on the phone the other day, and she's really funny actually because she just kind of she's lost it all.
Uh huh.
And you know when somebody kind of gets to a place of like. I had nothing to fucking lose. You know what I mean? So she's kind of like lost it all. So I said, Mom, I mean, so, you know, she goes, well, yeah, Kara, I got myself kind of clean. There's some, I don't do this anymore. I don't do that. I said, well, what kind of drugs did you do? She goes, Kara, there is nothing your mother hasn't tried, okay? Your mother has tried it all, okay? Whoa. I said, Mom, I'd have been psycho if I grew up with you. She's like, you've been probably fucking crazy too.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll
so she's aware of that. She's
like,
aware
yeah,
of her
she's
situation.
She's like, you know what? You know, Kara, I will tell you one thing. Any part of you that is crazy and being a good performer is because your mother. Okay?
Really?
It's your mother that gave you the talent you got. Okay? So just remember that shit.
Oh, there you go. Like she worked hard to give you that talent.
She's just, but there's something really adorable about her because she just, you know, she's nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And she knows it. And she was married. A few of her marriages, the guys had money.
Right.
And she was living the high life. And then she kind of married some bums. And now she's, you know, she married this one guy who, he was just a really sweet older man. And she had a really nice house. And she had kind of her life together. But she was still crazy, of course. You know, crazy just can't not be crazy. You know, crazy's got to get itself out. So
uh-huh.
I visited her once. And she's with this guy. And my mom's like, we're going to go out tonight, Kara, and get crazy. I said, oh, okay. She's like, we're going to go karaoke. I was like, okay, so we went to this little shop down the street.
And your mom sings?
Well, my she doesn't really sing. She just gets up there and she does this crazy job. We went out and bought some outfits for that night, and my mom was trying to wear, like, teeny bopper clothes. And
really?
Yeah, and she's like, we're going out. My daughter's a singer. She's from Los Angeles, okay? We're here to have a good time. I need you guys to help us get some good clothes. Like it's Pretty Woman or something.
Yeah.
She wants these girls to jump. I'm like, Mom, this is their part-time job after school. It's called Wet Seal. This isn't going to be like some amazing shop. Just relax. Anyway, we go out karaokeing. She gets on stage. She just loses it, starts singing. And then she goes into the audience and grabs some random guy's beer
and then gets on stage and she starts singing Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
And what were you doing during this whole
time? I'm just
time?
Watching her like, whoa, how is, I guess I am related to her. I mean, mine's a little more contained, but I guess we are related a bit, you know, I guess. Yeah. But she was married to this guy who was just, you know, he adored her. He goes, and he's from old school North Carolina. And so he's watched my mom sing, which most people would be like totally embarrassed. And, you know, like, I can't believe this is happening. And he goes, look at your mama up there. Your mama's so brave. You know, she don't sound half bad when she don't forget the words. But she does forget the words.
Now, do you have any step-siblings at all?
No.
I mean, she's been married so many times.
No, I mean, I have, not on her side. I have my brother and my sister were right. My half-brother and sister, but, you know, I just think of them as my brother and sister.
Right, right.
You know.
But none of the guys she married had kids?
Previous kids?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Mm. Mm-mm. That's interesting.
But my dad, you know, he was married at one point, and his ex-wife had a son and a daughter. She had a son and a daughter that were the same age as me and my brother.
Right.
So this gets really detailed, guys. Sorry. It gets really, like, hard to keep up. I can't keep up. But, I'm kind of friends with some of them on Facebook. Like, the two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we're not, I mean, like, my dad had his own set of issues, and his ex-wife, you know, left him. And,
yeah.
And so, it's just, like, really weird.
Yeah.
She wanted to be friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she friended me, and I was like, okay, I'll be friends. Because I'm like, I don't hate the woman. I just think she's crazy, too.
Yeah.
My dad has a bit of a thing. For crazy women.
Yeah, he likes crazy women.
Yeah, right? And...
Well, they're great in bed, they say.
I guess. I don't know. I don't have sex with crazy women. I try not to. But, so she friended me on Facebook, and I accepted. But then I would put up postings or things, and she'd be commenting on them. Like, she was kind of, like, still in my life and my mother. And I'm like, you freaking had an affair on my dad, and you screwed the bus driver mechanic. She worked at a bus barn.
Really?
She was a bus driver.
Uh-huh.
And the mechanic of the bus driver is who she had an affair with.
Oh, God.
And then he moved into our house.
Really?
Yeah, they got a divorce, and he gave her the house, and she moved in with him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then she wants to be friends on Facebook. There's just something weird about that. I mean, I'm not mad at her, but I think if you can't show some sanity of like, hey, listen, I know I really screwed up, and
right.
It might be awkward.
Maybe she doesn't feel she owes you an explanation.
That's the insanity
part.
You
know, that's because it's between her and your father.
No, but when you screw up, when you do something like that, and you don't take ownership of like, hey, this may be awkward, but I hope you don't hate me, and da-da-da-da, then there's a little bit of like, oh, this person gets it.
Right.
But when they don't, they just start commenting on your Facebook profile, like, you hang in there, girl, or, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, who the fuck are you,
yeah.
Crazy woman?
So I get out of my life.
Yeah, and I mean, so I deleted her from Facebook, and then she tried to refriend me. I was like, nah, not going to happen.
No, huh?
Yeah, not going to happen.
Well, I can understand, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have nothing in common.
No, she was like the step monster growing up.
Really?
Like, she would scare the shit out of me. And then, like, my aunt that I ended up living with, like, she scared all of my family. Like, the adults, you're thinking, like, oh, this adult will stand up to her.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they were fucking scared of her, too, because she was crazy.
Really?
She just would just get these just... like something would come over her and she would yell and like get in your face and grit her teeth and, you know, uh-huh. call you names and things like that. And you're like, what is going on?
Wow.
You're like, why is this person so angry and going to like spontaneously combust on you? So yeah, this
yeah.
is the person that you're like, whoa. But I do think people can change. I think for a lot of people too, that I've noticed as adults, they just, you know, the crazy part's kind of in their youth and their vigor and their robust kind of like years. And then it just kind of like, they may still be crazy, but their bodies are too tired to be crazy.
They mellow out a little bit.
They're kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
It does happen, yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's why I'm saying we should be grateful for being healthy and sane. And because so many things can go wrong. It gets scary sometimes.
Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, you know, even though I have what affected me in my childhood and my youth and, you know, definitely had to work through it in my adult life, you know, people are people. And I think that a lot of people are tortured and a lot of people get caught up in stuff. And it's like they're just humans, too.
Yeah.
Even though she's crazy. I mean.
Yeah. Well.
They're just humans.
Yeah.
Who what knows? I don't know what she, how her childhood was growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
You I
know,
really
I mean,
just
with
don't.
With a crazy mother like your grandmother,
or like,
it couldn't have been easy.
No, but all those women in my life were just kind of psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, parents fuck up their kids like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wondered about me being a mom one day. I mean, I think I'm going to be a great mom, and I'm going to really love my kids and, you know, be there for them. But I don't want to screw them up at all.
Right.
I don't want to. I don't think I
will.
Well,
yeah. It's hard, though, because, you know, I mean, you bring your own baggage with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, and you raise them for, I don't know, 18, 20 years, whatever, even beyond that. But, you know, and they pick up on these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're doomed to repeat. You know, unless when they grow older, they realize, you know, I'm not going to repeat this. Mm. I'm going to take a different path and so forth. But sometimes it's hard because it's part of your essence. You know, when you're screwed up, when your parents are screwed up.
I know.
Whatever genes are passed from one generation to another.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not easy having kids, let me tell you. You know, it's pretty scary ordeal there. Yeah. Because, I mean, look how many things can go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and that gets pretty scary. But then again, you know, you can't live in fear all your life either.
Mm.
You know, because you'll never live.
Mm.
So you have kids and you take a chance. Mm. You know, but like you said before, some people should not have kids. You know, some people are just not cut out for it. And when they realize it, that's good. It's the people that don't realize it that really get
well, in all reality, if I look at my mom and my dad, I don't think that they ever should have had children. But then here I am today. Fabulous. No, I just, you know, God redeems things. God takes stuff that's bad and makes it good. So you can't really say where life. I mean, I look at them. I'm like, they're not fit to be parents, really. Or they weren't great parents, right?
Right.
But the life that came from them was really good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, or good, or, you know, has hope or has a future. And so you can't really govern who should birth life, because the life can grow into being something amazing.
It depends, you know? But, I mean, you want to provide them with a good environment to grow up in. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's too easy for kids to get screwed up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, life has its own, I mean, life is independent sometimes, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not in that. That's not my life.
No, well, that's why, you know, they say that, you're the sum of all the things that your parents ever did, but what you become is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can choose not to carry on all these problems and all this shit with you to your adult years.
And on that note,
uh-huh.
You will not be seeing me, hopefully, Lord, ever going to prison twice because I held up a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Not going to happen.
Yeah,
huh?
My grandma went to prison for holding up a Kentucky Fried
Chicken.
Yeah,
especially at KFC. I don't see how much money they could possibly have in there.
Well, you know.
But maybe she wanted some fried chicken.
No,
who knows?
She wanted some money for some of that crack cocaine, Kara. Crack cocaine. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, Elizabeth Edwards, who just died recently, is leaving everything to her kids. John Edwards is not even in her will.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the guy that cheated on her. I guess she figured, what the hell, let him go with the other woman and the other child he has.
Wouldn't you? I'd be like, once that stuff went down, I'd be like, hey, can you get my lawyer on the phone? We need to adjust a will real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just adjust that. Just all you got to do is push delete.
Yeah.
Go on the computer program and just push backspace. Done.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's done.
And we're good. Yeah. No, that's cool. Live your life. Good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Live and love. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great. Kira, have a great day. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.